still have some, unfortunately, out sick with COVID. Poor Lydia and Seth, their family, it just seemed that it's just spreading through their family. And they are missing getting to see everybody. And I guess probably getting a little bit of cabin fever. And I guess Seth has got over it, went back to work and that. But Lydia came down with it. Now Rose has come down with it. And hadn't quite hit Jethro yet, but he's right there, so you don't know. And the kids are very sad about it. So they feel like they're missing out on so much, and they actually look forward to getting to visit, and they look forward to coming to church, and that, and so just. It's something to hear the children talking about COVID, especially the real young ones, you know, Teddy and Jethro talking about COVID, because them two were actually born during the pandemic, you know, and it's something, but the Lord's been gracious to us, amen, and it's good to be here tonight, amen, and pray for those that aren't able to be here. Brother Phil is out of town for work, I believe he had told me, and so is Will, and that. So let's remember them in prayer too, the Lord to bring them back safely and be with them. And like I said, those that are out sick, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and first of all, we thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity, Lord, to come and to assemble ourselves, Lord, to be here, and Lord, to come with expectation, to come into your presence, Father, and to come to hear your word, dear Lord. And Lord, we ask for those that are out sick, Lord, that you will touch them, Lord, and Father, heal them, raise them back up, Lord. I pray for those that are out tonight, Lord, due to work and things, Lord, that you would be with them, watch over them, those especially that are out of town, Lord. And we ask, God, that you would just now come and bless us with your word as we read it, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. I actually want to go back to the fifth chapter that we had covered things on last Thursday. And when I was on my way home, I was thinking on these things, and I thought of some things that I did not go into concerning these things that we were teaching on Thursday, that we were teaching about the body change and so forth and that. But there were some things that I didn't really go in depth on another area, and I'd like to do that tonight. But let's read there from Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just looking at this, we realize, and as we brought out on last Thursday night, that when a Christian dies, you know, Brother Aaron said, they're not just a floating spirit. That they actually, when a Christian dies, they have a body to go to. They got a heavenly body that's waiting on them. And Brother Branham, he says, that's your theophany. Now, remember in the message when Brother Branham said, when you heard this message and believe, he said, you had heard from your theophany. You remember him saying that? And so he's mentioned, so we realize we've got a body to go to. But then Paul speaks about knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. The terror. And I just focused on that word right there, the terror. And then you say, okay, then what about the sinner when they die? What about the unbeliever when they die? Now, we know that in the resurrection, their body that they had lived in here on earth, it will come up in the resurrection, and they'll appear before the judgment, as the Bible just said here, we read, they'll appear in that body that they sinned in. And we realize that, like we preached that Thursday, that what we've been taught by the prophet and by the scriptures is that we will appear there before Jesus in a glorified body. Not this body that you committed to sin in, that you lived in. No, this body's going to be changed. Okay. But the sinner, they're going to appear that when the resurrection, their body is resurrected. But it's the one that they lived in before they died. And they come back and stand before the judgment in that sinful flesh. But focusing on where it says the terror, and then you say, well then, okay, we've got a body to go to when we leave here. And we know, we call it a theophany. And Brother Aaron says when he went beyond the curtain of time, that, you know, that's what they were in. They were in theophany bodies. He said they didn't need to eat. They didn't need to sleep. And then he said, but it was a real body. He said they hugged him. He could feel them. He said it was just so real. They could touch one another. They could talk to one another. They could fellowship. You know, they said, oh, our precious brother. Remember that? But what about the sinner when he dies? What happens to him? All right. Now, the terror. Now, they're actually, let's establish this first. There's seven dimensions, okay? The first three dimensions are the dimensions you live in, which is a dimension of light, a dimension of matter, and a dimension of time. And those are the ones that you contact with this earthly body. But then there's a fourth dimension. And that fourth dimension, we can't see it, and we can't really communicate with it. But the reason we know it's there is because science has reached out and brought it into us. It's a dimension of science. It's the dimension that radio waves travel in. It's the dimension that the pictures of TV and things are all in that fourth dimension. Now, we can't see them without
the tools of science that actually bring those things in to where we can see them from that fourth dimension. But they're going through this room right now. We just don't have anything in here to receive them with. But that's the fourth dimension. Then there is the fifth dimension. And Brother Branham says that fifth dimension is the horrible dimension. He said that's the dimension where the sinner goes. He said when he was caught up beyond the curtain of time, he went to the sixth dimension. That's where the Christian goes. That's where the believer goes, to the sixth dimension. And the seventh dimension is the dimension where God is. But now, coming back to that fifth dimension, you know, where is it? It's somewhere. But Brother Branham said it's a horrible dimension. And I bring you back to what Paul says, the terror. Now, Brother Branham tells a story in a message in Who's This Melchizedek, preached in 1965. And he says that there was a news article that was in the Tucson paper. And he said in that paper, he said there was a woman that was driving down the road. And while she was driving down the road, there was a man walking beside the road, and he had a big overcoat on. And she struck him with her car. And he flew up into the air and landed out in the desert. And there was cars behind her, and they witnessed it happen. Everybody stopped. They called the police. They came out to investigate, and everybody was looking, and they couldn't find this man. And so Brother Branham said that to come to find out that some years before that, he said there was an old man that was in an overcoat that was struck and killed on that road out there in the desert. And he said, see, they couldn't find him. And he said, the reason it was, he said, because he was actually in that fifth dimension. And he says, what it is, when a sinner dies, he says, they go to that fifth dimension, and he says, their time is up here on earth. So they have no, they've left this, this body has dissolved. This, the earthly house of this tabernacle has resolved. So they don't have a body here to come back to. Because their time's up. But they don't have a heavenly tabernacle or body to go to when they leave this body. So Brother Ram says, they're trapped. They're trapped between the earth and hell. In the fifth dimension. And they don't go on to hell because they haven't went to the judgment yet. But there's no body for them to go into because they died without the blood of Jesus Christ. And they can't come back into this life because they don't have a body to come back to. He says, but they wander in a nightmare, he calls it, a terror. They're stuck, he says, and they're there, and they can't wake up from it. Brother Adam says, have you ever had a nightmare? And maybe in the nightmare you realize that you're actually dreaming, that you're actually having a nightmare, and you're trying to wake up from it. You ever been there? And you're trying to wake up from it, and you're struggling, you know, and sometimes you will actually scream out, and eventually screaming will actually wake you up out of the nightmare. He says, but when a sinner dies, they can't wake up out of that nightmare. They're stuck there. And he said, look, this man, he had died. He couldn't come back here and stay on earth because he had no body. But he had no body to go to. He was trapped in a nightmare. And here he was trapped in that nightmare, and he kept coming back, walking that road where he had been hit. And he kept getting hit over and over again. I want you to realize the dimension that the living were in. That woman driving the car, the dimension she was in, it came in contact with that fifth dimension that dead man was walking in. And he was trapped. Listen to this. Brother Branham says his present stage of my ministry. He said, when a man has a nightmare, he's not altogether asleep, neither is he awake. He's between sleep and awake. And that's what makes it so horrible, shaking, screaming, because he's not asleep and he's not awake. And take that shows where a man goes when he dies unconverted. He's lived his time up. He's dead on earth. And he cannot go into the presence of God because he's not fit to go there without the blood. And he's caught. He cannot come back to earth because his time's finished here on earth. And he's caught between. And he's in a nightmare. He can't go in the presence of God and rest. He can't come back to earth because his time's up. He's in a nightmare. And he stays there until the day of the judgment. What a horrible thing to be in. Now I take you back to what Paul says. Us knowing the terror of the Lord, we do try to persuade others. To what? To escape that nightmare. To turn to the Lord. To come under the blood of Jesus. Listen to this. This is in the midst of the countdown. He says, if I would type it for you, it's like trying to go to sleep and you can't be asleep and you're in a nightmare. Hideous things. You're screaming. That's the state of the wicked dead. He cannot go in the presence of God because he's a sinner. He cannot return back to earth because his time's up. He's caught between the two things in the fifth dimension. He's got a soul. And he can't go into the presence of God because it's not covered by the blood. He's a sinner. He cannot wake himself up because his time's up on earth. So there he is in a tormented nightmare. Think of that now before you enter it, he says. A nightmare. Scream. Many of us have nightmares. We're told because the two consciences are passing, sub and first conscious, and catches between. And that's the nightmare. When a sinner dies, he's caught with his soul between earth and hell in a nightmare, and there he stands, waiting on the judgment. I'll tell you, to me, going back and looking at the scripture where it says, for us, the believers, if the earthly house of this tabernacle are dissolved, we have a building, a body waiting for us to go to. How much what I have said makes that so much more dear to us believers. That when if we die during this lifetime, and leave this earthly body, we've got a body to go to. Oh, I wouldn't want to be a sinner stuck in a nightmare, nobody to go to, nobody to come back to, just trapped there. No wonder Brother Branham called it a horrible dimension. Just trapped. I've thought of it, you know, so many times. I've thought about ones that, you know, like famous people who have died. You know, maybe they thought they had it all in this life. But some of them, you read about them, and they were troubled in this life. I've read about Elvis Presley. He was such a troubled person in this life. And I thought, you know, when he died, when I read about these different ones, you know, that die, and they're not saved. And there they are, just in that fifth dimension. You know, do they have an understanding of where they are or what's going on? I don't think they really do. No wonder Brother Ram described it like, to them, it would be like they were trapped in a nightmare that they could not wake up out of. Remember Brother Ram talking about when he had got shot and he died. And he wasn't saved. And he went to hell. And Brother Ram said, I cried out for mama, but there was no mama there. He said, I cried out for God, but there was no God there. Brother Ram talks about how horrible it was. And he talks about that, and then he comes back. He talks about it in this place I was reading today, and he comes back to talking about the sinner that dies. And they're just trapped there. You know, friends, look, we talk about as the bride of Jesus Christ, we know that, you know, the dead, you know, got a body to go to, that when the resurrection happens, you know, they come back in that heavenly body and they pick up the 16 elements from this earth, and then they have a flesh body, and you know, and they, and Brother Ram says, and it's a human body again, they can eat and all those things, because then when we receive a body change, us that are alive and remain, and then we're caught up in the rapture to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we sit down at the table to eat. And we get to enjoy that for a time period of 3.5 years. Now, 3.5 years, you think about it, you think, well, 3.5 years really ain't that long. But I'm going to tell you what, for those that are left behind here on this earth during that 3.5 years, they're going to be in a tribulation time. And that's going to be a long 3.5 years. That's going to be a horrible 3.5 years. But then, you know, the tribulation period ends. Those sinners, they die. And the bride comes back to earth and is here for 1,000 years in a millennial reign. Now, 1,000 years plus 3.5 years, all of that time, those ones that you know that are alive right here, look, our loved ones that are not saved right now, if they don't get saved, 1,003.5 years, they're going to be stuck in a nightmare. Think about all that has ever lived on this earth. We think about during the time when Jesus Christ here, and we just give it a rounded number of 2,000 years ago.
There's people who died during that time.
There was, look, friends, there were, Jesus Christ died, shed his blood for the sinner, but there were people who rejected him. There were people who, even when the disciples came forth preaching Jesus Christ, they rejected it. And they died in that condition. So there has been people that have been stuck in a nightmare in a fifth dimension for thousands of years.
Like I said, those that are alive right now, in your lifetime, when the bride of Christ leaves here, if they're not under the blood of Jesus Christ, friends, they don't go in this rapture. If they're not bride, they don't go in the rapture. Now I realize, and I don't worry, you know, I'm not focusing on this part tonight, but I realize there will be some that say, but realize this, friends, they don't receive eternal life until the judgment time comes. The only ones that receive eternal life at the time of the rapture, you know, actually a body change and all that, it's the bride. And you know, Brother Adam calls it the bride from every age. The Gentile bride. But they're going to be trapped in a nightmare. I want you to think about it, because friends, look, there's not a one of us sitting here tonight that doesn't have some loved ones that are in a lost condition right now. And if they don't turn to the truth, what awaits them is a nightmare. That they won't wake up from until the judgment, which is at the end of all of it, when all of the dead rise in that last resurrection. And then they'll stand in the judgment. And they'll come back up in a flesh body. But it'll be the flesh body they had lived in when they were alive here on this earth. It'll be this dying flesh body that they come back in. And they'll stand in the judgment. Now, the Bible in several places it speaks about the voice of many waters. But it especially speaks about it in a couple of places in the book of Revelations. And it talks about, and it's actually speaking about the judgment. And when it says the voice of many waters, it said it is as the voice of mighty thundering. Listen to what Brother Branham has to say about this in the message of the Patmos vision. He says, the judgment, the books were opened. He said, that's the book of the sinner. And then there's another book that's opened. And he said, and the church from the rapture, tens of thousands times thousands of thousands came with him to minister to him, his wife, the bride. His wife came with him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. And he says, and every man is judged from the book. And he said, now, and you'll be asked to give a reason why you didn't. And then, what then? He said, you knew better. You know better. And he said, the Bible says, if the righteous were scarcely saved, where will the sinner and an ungodly person appear? The one who rejects, knows better, but then rejects it, where will they appear? And then he begins to describe, as it says there in Revelation chapter 1, that he stood there, the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girded about the paps of the golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He said, what a horrible thing for a drifting soul on the sea of life. No pilot to guide him, loose, floating with the tides, to hear the roar of the great cataracts, the falls. What a horrible thing it would be to be a soul drifting. He's talking about those souls of the sinners. The souls drifting. No body. Until the judgment. And then he goes back and he says, the voice of many waters. What is his voice? It's the judgment. It's the voice of the ministers through the Holy Spirit that is cried out to the people in every age standing there. The voice of many waters cried out. Thickness and multitudes, the voice of those seven stars in his hand to every church age. Preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Preaching the baptism in Jesus' name. Preaching speaking in tongues. Preaching the power of God. Preaching the resurrection of Christ. Preaching the second coming. Preaching divine judgment. The voice of many waters comes forth from the one that looked like the Son of Man. Many waters. And what will it be to know that you sat in the meetings and heard that you should get right with God and receive the Holy Ghost and a drifting soul? To hear that voice speak out in that meeting that you sat in and you heard the judgments of God preached and refused it. The great fall is just below you, the great cataracts that'll take you to your eternal doom. You see what he's talking about when he's talking about the great cataracts, the fall? He's talking about after the judgment, they go to their doom. They actually go to final death. The voice of many waters, the fourth personage of him. The fourth personage of him, the voice of many waters, the preachers, the ministers who preached, the voice of many waters. And how are you going to do it when it's recorded in glory? When the voice tonight is recorded, when your voice is recorded, your thoughts are recorded. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Notice, your thoughts are louder in heaven than your voice is on earth. Certainly it is. God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows it all. He said to the Pharisees, you hypocrites, how can you speak good things when out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth, calling me master good, and I know I can look right through you and see that you're hypocrites. You don't mean that. And what will it be on that day when that voice thunders out of many waters? Think about that. The sinner dies. When the rapture has gone, those who are who are left here lost, those who are lost. Friends, look, it doesn't matter. They can be related to me. They can be related. It doesn't matter who they're related to in this earthly life. They're going to be in a nightmare. Waiting on judgment. And then when judgment comes. Friends, look. You look at it. Look, I think of my own loved ones. I think of those that I know that have actually sat in this message. That actually have a knowledge, at least, of this message. Were raised in the message. What's it going to be for them on that day when they come into the judgment? I'm going to tell you something, friends. That's not waking up from a nightmare. That's a nightmare continuing. And they come back and hear Brother Ram saying, the voice of many waters, the ministers that they heard preached, the meetings that they sat in. And they're going to hear it again. And their thoughts are recorded. Things they have said, statements they have made are on record in heaven. Things that they have said against the prophet. Things they have said against the message of the hour. It's on record in heaven. Things they have said against the ministers of God. It's on record in heaven. Things they have said against the saints of God. It's on record in heaven. Thoughts they have had is on record in heaven. And when they come there and stand in the judgment, they're going to, this is why the Bible says the voice of many waters. It's because the voice is the voice of God. But the voice of God has spoke out through many ministers. So many waters. And they'll hear the voice of the prophet, but it's the voice of God that spoke through the prophet. But I want to tell you something else, friends. They're going to hear the voice of all of the ministers of this message that they have heard preach. They're going to have to give an account. Brother Branham says it. They're going to have to give an account. What did they do with it? And like I just read to you, he says they're going to be asked, why didn't you accept it? He says, and then what are they going to say? I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. They're not going to be able to say, well, God, you know what? If Jerry Browning hadn't been in that church in Dixon, I would have came. They're not going to be able to say that. They'll hear a voice that sounds like my voice, but it's the voice of God that's speaking. They're not going to, look, friends, I tell you what, I have heard so much in the 25 years. I heard it from the very first year I came here. I had somebody stand out here in the parking lot and tell me they couldn't come to church here because David Horner was here.
That was the first year. The first year. We had a special meeting that first year. And in that special meeting, a lot of people came in. And somebody that was from here stood right out here, about right out here in the parking lot talking to me and told me. I didn't really know anybody. And they told me, I couldn't come here because of David Horner. They're not going to be able to say that on the day of judgment. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Before I met Brother Jimmy Terranova, I had heard so many bad things about him. That's the truth. And when I finally met him and actually got to witness him actually worshiping the Lord and playing for the Lord and getting into the service and feasting on the word here and actually got to see, friends, I thought, oh my goodness, how horrible these people were that were saying all those things. But you know what? Everything they ever said is on record. We got to be careful. I'll tell you something, friends. I get to thinking, and I think about my loved ones. And I think about different ones, actually even from this area. I think about even my loved ones who have left the message. And I think about ones from this area. They won't come. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. They're not going to be able to stand there on the day. I'm going to tell you something. They're not going in a rapture. You say, why, Brother Jerry? Why would you say that? Because they're not getting prepared. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Now, I'll tell you something, friends. Look, I encourage you to listen to, I know we still call them tapes because that was, you know, what our time era, what we came from. But I encourage you to listen to Brother Branham. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get ready for the rapture without hearing the voice that's speaking today. I don't try to say, you know, I'm a special person. But I do know this. God gave me a gift. And I've tried over the years to try to explain it to people. And I'll tell you something. It's something that it's really hard to explain. The things I get and the things I bring together out of the message and the word, I don't get that because of my intelligence. It's something that God give me. I can break into a something, you know, to where the things, they just start coming to me. And, you know, I've had to read, I've had to study, and over the years that I have spent reading and studying, it just means there's more for the Holy Spirit to remind me of. And he can remind me of this I read maybe 30 years ago and connect it with something I read today. Some of the things I've told you tonight, I studied on it about 26 years ago before I ever came here to pastor this church. A drifting soul. And friends, look,
they're going to stand there in the judgment. And everything they ever thought and everything they ever said is going to be played back. And everything they ever heard of the truth from whatever voice that God was using to speak through, they're going to hear that again too. And they won't be able to deny anything. And everything they've ever done, they're going to have to answer for it. Oh, how much more meaning that brings to me that I got a house waiting on me. A house, friends, made up not by hands, but of God. That never sinned. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I would not want to stand before the judgment. You say, you're a saved, born again Christian. Yes, but I'm going to tell you, I would not want to stand before God in this body that I'm living in right now. And we've said wrong things, and we've thought wrong things. But when he opens your book, those things are not going to be there. Why? Because it's been washed by the blood. The things that you've done before you came to the Lord, the sins that you committed and done, and the awful things, horrible things, they're not going to be there. And you're not going to be standing in the body that you did those horrible things in. The body you'll be standing in on that day. Friends, that body never done any of those things. Look, I'm going to tell you something, friends. If you die and leave this life, I want you to realize this. It's not that when you die, God hurries up and makes you a spiritual body. The Bible says it's waiting on you. And Brother Branham said, when you heard this message and you realized it was eagle food, you heard from that body. The body that's waiting on you, that theophany, you heard from it. So those who have rejected, who've sat under this ministry, who have of the prophet and this end time message and rejected it, friends, they had no body to hear from. They had no theophany to hear from. And that's why they couldn't receive it. It was just words that they'll be judged by. What a horrible, horrible time. Friends, look, I'm not only thankful that I got a body to go to if I die. I'm not only thankful that I'm going to get a body change whether I die or I live. And I'm going to be standing there in a glorified body that is immortal, that is immortal flesh. But I'm glad if this was the judgment bar, if you do that in your mind, I'm glad I'm not going to be standing on this side of it.
Amen.
I'm not going to be standing on that side of it looking up at God and all the saints. I'm going to be back here. So are you. And you ought to be thankful of that. That's what the Bible teaches us. Because it says, look, know you not that you, the saints, shall even judge the angels? Look, friends, all those angels that followed Lucifer, they're going to be judged by us.
We'll be standing there in a changed body, glorified flesh, immortal. Be able to eat, touch, feel everything. But that body would have had never known this sin and corruption and horrible things. A drifting soul, Brother Branham says. You poor drifter that's drifting over the great cataract yonder. Be careful. It's a horrible thing when you know there's no saving for you then. You can't get saved then. You know your doom lies right before you. When you know within a few minutes you'll hear that voice speak out, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels." You'll know when you hear that great falls roaring of those voices of those meetings while you are passing out of this. Oh, what a horrible thing. What a nightmare. He said, don't let it happen to you people. Repent. Get right with God now while you can get right. Remember when Jesus tells about the rich man in the Bible? Lazarus sat at his gate. And he said that rich man, he died. And he lifted up his eyes from hell. And said he looked and he beheld Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he says, oh God, let Lazarus come back and put some water on his fingers to touch to my lips. He says, oh God, send somebody to my brother who's still alive to warn him against this so he doesn't come here. Listen to what Brother Branham says. This is a door to the heart. Let me give you a sight that is sickly. How many people have sunk beyond the regions of mercy into the devil's hell and torment? A nightmare. How they'd love to come back and have one more chance. But they can't. Because their time's up. And listen to this. He goes on in his quote and he says, he's a good God, as Oral Roberts often stated. Oral Roberts said, he's a good God. He's a God of mercy. Brother Ram said, he is also a God of judgment. He says here in God's covenant, he says, nightmare, death. That's due every sinner. Every sinner is subject to death and deserves it because he's a sinner. He deserves death, that great horror, the nightmare. Brother Branham was speaking in the message of the reaction to an action, and he tells about a conversation that he had with his wife, Sister Meadie. In this conversation, he said he was laying there, and he told her just one morning, he said, you know, I got saved about 30 years ago, and since then, it seems like I'm in a nightmare. Do you know what I mean, he said? And then he goes on to say, he said, in this life, something happened down in me that makes me know there's a land somewhere, and I'm shaking myself to wake up from this life Someday death will wake me into his presence. Did you ever have a nightmare and you wanted to get out of it and you was jerking and jumping and you wanted to wake up because you know there is a reality somewhere that's far beyond that nightmare? So that is to every Christian that's born again and always has been. Abraham and Isaac and them said they were pilgrims and strangers. They were seeking a city to come. So Brother Adam, in talking about nightmare, he said, for the believer, this life that we're living in is like a nightmare, but we're going to wake up from it in a new body.
Amen.
But friends, it's not a nightmare like those that die in the center and goes to the fifth dimension. Now let me close with this. In the life story, Brother Branham often tells a story about how that him and Hope, when he was married to his first wife, Hope, they went and they bought a chair. And he said, they didn't really have much furniture in the house, but he liked this chair that was down, I think it was a department store called Morrison's, I think it was. And so they went down there and they bought this chair, but he says they bought it on time. They were going in every week and making payments to them for this chair. And I don't remember what the payments were, something like 30 cents or 35 cents or 25 cents, something like that, a week. And they got behind on the payments. And Brother Branham had been out preaching, you know, and working in that. And he said, and Hope knew he was going to be coming home. And they had got behind on the payments on that chair. And the chair, they came and got the chair and took it. And Hope was so upset and worried and sad about he was going to come home and realize that chair was gone. She felt so troubled and sad about it. So she got the little boys, a couple of little boys from the neighborhood, and said, go out and dig up some worms. And so they went out and they dug up some worms and gathered some worms for her and that. And she had those. And then she made Brother Branham's favorite pie and meal and that. And when he came in, you know, he came in and you know, and he had that and that, and then, you know, he was getting ready to go into the living room. She said, no, she said, come on, let's go down fishing. Let's don't go in there. Let's go down fishing. I had the boys gather up some worms, and let's just go down. I'll go down with you, and you can go fish a little while. And Brother Aaron said he realized something was wrong. And so he said, no, let's just go in the living room. She broke down crying, and she told him, they come and got your chair. Then remember, after she had died, and little Sharon Rose had died, and Brother Branham was there alone with Billy Paul, and he was still just a baby with a bottle in that. And Brother Branham was so troubled. He just about, he said, was losing his mind. And then he went into something, he said, didn't know if it was a dream really or what it was. Remember him telling about it? Said he was walking and he was saying something about a wagon wheel. And he saw this young lady there, that she was leaning there, I believe it was on a gate line. And she said, hello, Daddy. And he looked at her and said, she was, you know, about 20 years old. And he said, he wasn't old enough to be her daddy. And he said something to her. And she said, Daddy, she said, don't you remember me? I was your little Sharon Rose down there on earth. And she said, we're not babies up here. She said, mother's on up at the house. She said, I'm going to wait here on Billy. He went on up to the house. And he got up there and he goes in, and there's Hope. And Hope's talking to him. And Hope tells him, said, look, you're going to wake up from this in a few minutes. And said, when you do, but before you do, I want you to understand, me and Sharon Rose are all right. Said, we're better off than you are. And she's telling him this to try to comfort him and things. And then she says to him, she says, won't you sit down? And he looked over and she said, do you remember the chair? He said, there was that chair, that Morris's chair that they had come and took back. And he said, there it was. And she said, won't you sit down? He said, don't you remember the chair? And then she says this to him. She says, they can't come get it now. She said, they can't come take it away. Y'all, you know, you either have ever met or knew or have heard of Brother Perry Green. Now, Brother Perry Green was almost like an investigator. You know, he went and different things that Brother Branham saw and places where he talked about where the sword came down, and Brother Branham described it, and he said there was like a pyramid. He said the rocks came together and formed a pyramid. Now, of course, when you hear that, your mind automatically thinks of it in a certain way. So Brother Perry Green went out there in an airplane and had this pilot flying him around out there in Arizona. And he was trying to look for this place. And he said he couldn't find it. Finally, a thought came to him and he said, can you turn this plane upside down and fly it? And so the pilot said, yeah. So the pilot flipped that plane upside down and was flying it upside down, and Brother Perry said, there it was. It wasn't like the human mind had thought, that it was rocks coming up this way, but it was rocks going down this way that formed that pyramid. And then there was that rock standing up where Brother Branham was up on when that sword came down in his hand. Now, Brother Perry, as like I said, he was like an investigator. He went and found all these things. He'd listened to the things on the tapes that Brother Branham said and things that Brother Branham had testified to him when he was alive. And Brother Perry went out to investigate and he went out and find all this stuff. And after Brother Branham died, you know, there were so many things that was going on because the believers of the message, they didn't know what to make of it really, because it wasn't, look, friends, the message, the entire, it wasn't really actually even revealed to them yet. They were like the disciples that were on the road to Emmaus when Jesus came and met them on the road. Friends, they were in wonderment. What is going on? We thought he was going to be with us. So Brother Perry got it in his mind. He was going to go find that chair that Brother Branham had talked about that they had come and got. And Brother Perry went down, and that furniture store still existed back then. And Brother Perry, this is his testimony, he went there to that, and they went into their records, and that chair had never been sold again. And they went to looking through their building, and they could not find that chair. And Brother Perry said, that's because that chair is in another dimension now. And said, Hope said, they can't take it now. Friends, listen. A chair went to another dimension. the sixth dimension. And those in this dimension that we're living in hopes that they can't come and get this. But a man who had died on a road out in the desert in Arizona, struck by a car on the desert and died, and was trapped in a nightmare of the fifth dimension. He was struck over and over again by physical cars in this dimension. What a nightmare. I'll close with this thought. All of this, what I've said tonight, to me, friends, should make us so much more thankful that we actually have a body to go to when this earthly house is dissolved. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. Lord, I wasn't even looking at the time. I know I went a little longer tonight than I normally do on Thursday night, Lord, but I just didn't know how all this was going to go, and I just had these different things down, and Lord, I just was following your spirit to speak tonight, dear God. Lord, I think about those. I think about our loved ones. Lord, them that have walked away from this message. And they're in a lost state right now. And if something don't turn them around, God, the only thing that awaits them is a nightmare. And God, I think about those right here in this area, dear God. Lord, they've said and heard, many of them heard this truth, Lord, preached right here in this building. And why are they sitting out there and they won't come? Because it's some little petty, fleshly feeling. Or because, Lord, they're so hooked on whatever it is they're doing in this life. Things they don't want to give up. Things they don't want to surrender. What awaits them is a nightmare. Oh God, I would they would come. I don't want to see them lost. And Lord, I know that you speak to people. Lord, I think about Sister Moretta. Lord, one time, Lord, she got upset with me and mad at me, Lord, and critical of me, and Lord, and she left and didn't come for years. But something drew her back. And Lord, she came up here to the front after one service, God, and she told me, she says, I want to apologize to you and ask you to forgive me. And she said, I want to say the voice that's been speaking through you, I heard it speak before when it spoke through the prophet. She said, it's the same voice. And God, she got right. Before she left out of this life. And God, she had a body waiting on her. But Lord, there's others. So many. God, who left. And they don't I think about one brother that had come here, God. Lord, he seemed so on fire. And then he listened to others and left. And God, he died in a horrible accident out on the road, dear God. And he died in a lost state. He's in a nightmare tonight. Oh, God. People walk away, God. They walk away to some of them for drugs, some of them for drink, some of them for just cutting their hair or wearing pants or whatever God thinks like that. And that's why they don't come. That's why they don't want to surrender those things. God, what awaits them is a nightmare. Judgment. Will it be worth it then? Lord, the prophet said, Judas sold you out for 30 pieces of silver. He said, there's people today that sell you out for a lot less. They sell you out, Lord, they sell you out to live a life of sin here on this earth. They know this message. They know better. They've heard the preaching of the word. They have felt the presence of Almighty God come down here. Not just preaching from me, God, but preaching from every minister that's ever come through here preaching. Time for Brother Darrell Ward has come and preached. Remember the message he preached on two buckets and a sword. There was a brother coming here at that time, Lord. God, he got so blessed by it. And I saw him out here on the streets of Dixon. We was passing with another driving right out here on these streets, right here not far from the church. And God, we saw one another and we stopped and we got out to speak. And he got out and he said, two buckets and a sword. Where is he tonight, Lord? What is he selling his album for? I would like to not see him lost. We've had others here, and they've left. And I'm not talking about people that's moved or people that felt led to go to another church in Elkton or Manchester or somewhere else. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people, Lord, they're not going anywhere. And some of them, Lord, had left to go to some denomination. They went back to the tables of vomit. They say they couldn't come here because I wouldn't accept their boyfriend. I wouldn't accept because they, Lord, they were just so desperate to be married. They wanted that more than they wanted this. Lord, I don't hate them. I don't wish ill on them. I feel sorry for them. They're souls that are drifting, God. And they're drifting toward the great cataracts. They're drifting toward their eternal doom. There's no excuse. There'll be no excuse they can offer. Hallelujah. the excuses they think they have now, when they stand there on that day, they'll just evaporate from them. They'll realize and won't even be able to say it. And what they have traded this for, whatever in this life that they have traded to get and have traded this truth for, they're going to realize at that time that it wasn't worth it. Because everything in this life is only for a short time. And there's nothing this life has to offer, God, that is worth losing eternity over. There's nothing in this life that's worth trading eternal life for. Oh, God. If there's some way they can be reached, if there's something, God, oh God, I plead for them. Thank you for your word tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, that we realize, God, have a revelation, God, an assurance. We've got an assurance, Lord, because as Paul said, we've got the earnest of the Spirit. Because we have the Holy Spirit, that here in this life, that's what makes us know we've got a body waiting on us. A house not made with hands. A building in the heavens. A house that we can be clothed upon, that the shame of our nakedness does not appear. I thank you for that tonight, God. What a peace that brings to the Christian. Bless your people tonight, God. Be with those that are sick. Be with those that are out of town, on their jobs and so forth. Lord, I pray you'll bring us back here at the appointed time on Sunday. We ask your blessings on the people now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry for holding you. I just got beside myself.